Tonight, the title of my sermon is Before the Night Was Over. Jesus knew what this night held for him, yet he boldly committed to doing the Father's will. He knew that it was the beginning of the end when he sent his disciples to prepare for the Passover meal. And so as the day began, we read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 18 through 20, "And he," Jesus, "said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. See, the disciples, they did just what Jesus had asked. And the owner of the house readily agreed to allow Jesus and his followers to celebrate Passover at his home. And so with everything made ready, Jesus then sat down with his students for one last meal. After this, the events of the night would unfold quickly. While the meal was getting started, Jesus, he got up and he began to wash his disciples' feet. It was the custom for the host of the party or the owner of the house to provide a servant to wash the dirt and dust off the guest's feet. But here we see Jesus, he takes on this role of the servant. John chapter 13, verse 3 through 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." What an example Jesus is to us. Amen? Here we see the Son of Almighty God. He humbled himself to do this menial task. And he washed everyone's feet that was there in that room. So what are the things that God desires us to do that we think are beneath us? And so the meal then continues. And then Jesus makes a shocking statement in Matthew chapter 26, verse 21 and 22. "Now as they were eating, he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say to him, 'Lord, is it I?'" The disciples were caught off guard in this moment, and all they could think about was themselves. No one dared ask, "Lord, is it him?" And they were sad to think that one of these 12 men that had been together for 3 years would betray their master. But Jesus also said to them in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 33, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble before you or because of you, I will never be made to stumble.'" Here we see Peter, he is full of pride, arrogance, and self-righteousness. He has already challenged Jesus when Jesus came to wash the feet of the disciples. And now here he continues with another rebuke of Jesus. He says, "I will never be offended. I will never desert you." But with the gentle response, Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 34, "And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And those words must have come as a shock to Peter. For he could not see any circumstance in which would lead him to deny Christ. But Jesus knew just what that night had in store for himself, but also for his disciples. But then came the promise of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Because Jesus had assumed the likeness of man and wrapped himself in human flesh, he could only be in one place at one time. And now he is telling his disciples that he is going away. But he's going away with a promise that he will not leave them alone. He promises that the Holy Spirit will comfort and guide them. And because he is Spirit, he can be everywhere at once. So while they are together in the upper room, Jesus offers a prayer of intercession, and a prayer that extends to each and every one of us. He lifts his prayer to his Father in heaven, John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Church, we are some of those believers that believe tonight because of the preaching and teaching of the disciples. And Jesus' prayer is one that we will be one, that together we will have the same vision and the same mission and heart and mind as we go forth to proclaim the good news. That we will continue to make an impact in the world today because we believe. Amen. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent into this world to make a way for our relationship to be restored with God the Father. And so in spite of the danger, Jesus stays in Jerusalem. And as he eats the Passover feast, he interrupts the meal and institutes the sacrament of communion. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day that I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So as Jesus interrupted the Passover meal to institute the ordinance of communion, we now interrupt this sermon to observe that which he has called us to do in his remembrance. Tonight we will come to the table by intinction, or intentionally. Before you come to the table to observe the ordinance of communion, I ask that you take time to prepare your hearts, to confess any sin that needs to be confessed, and to give thanks for God for sending his Son to die in our place. So as you're prepared, then please come forward. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for communion, this time to remember the body of Christ broken for us, for his blood that was shed, for the remission of our sins, for the new covenant that we live under, the covenant of grace. Father, we thank you that you loved your creation so much that even when we were in active rebellion and sinners, that you sent your Son to die in our place. Father, this time of season, let that thought and that memory be remembered by all. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The meal being done around sundown, Jesus now retires to the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. There he takes Peter, James, and John to go pray with him. Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 45. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Jesus prays and asks the Father if there was any other way to avoid the cross. Was there any way to avoid being made sin? But knowing that the plan had been in place since the Garden of Eden, Jesus then says, I'm willing to do your will and not my own. And the Father, knowing that there was no other way, he sent an angel to reassure his Son that this was the way it had to be done. And being in agony as the weight of the sins of the world began to press down upon him, Jesus literally had his blood squeezed out into his sweat. While in the garden, Jesus goes three times to check on his disciples, only to find them sleeping. For you see, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark chapter 14, verse 41. Then he came the third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. After dinner, Judas brings the soldiers into the garden and betrays Jesus with a kiss. Matthew chapter 26, verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. What a joke it was to think that mere men could hold Jesus against his will. See, Jesus allowed himself to be taken. And during the arrest, Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. John chapter 18, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. I find it interesting that Peter didn't go after Judas, because he now knows who has betrayed Jesus. And so again, Jesus rebukes Peter. Matthew chapter 26, verse 52 and 53. But Jesus said to him, Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could put an end to this right now. And a Roman legion was made up of approximately 2,000 soldiers. So what Jesus is saying here in this moment is that all he had to do was to tell his Father that he wanted out. And the Father would have sent an army of at least 24,000 angels to save him. Instead, Jesus, he heals the servant's ear, and then he was arrested and taken to the Sanhedrin. Luke chapter 22, verse 51. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Imagine if you had been present when your boss plotted to destroy Jesus. Now that same man has compassion upon you. He heals your wound and he takes away your pain. What a conflict of emotions the servant Malchus must have felt. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. And those who had laid a hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. The disciples scatter. Jesus was now abandoned. Some would go into hiding. Others would try to follow from a distance. And this is what they had feared when Jesus said that he must return to Jerusalem. But Matthew chapter 26, verse 56 says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Jesus is now standing before Caiaphas. The false witnesses have now been assembled, revealing that this was all premeditated. The sins committed by this so-called group of religious leaders is mind-boggling. Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. "Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death." They weren't looking for someone to testify against Jesus. They were openly looking for people who would tell the lies in exchange for money to support their cause. And their charge was blasphemy, that Jesus was just a man who claimed to be God. And the real truth was that the high priest and Sanhedrin, they all wanted to retain their power and to be in control. Therefore, they intentionally ignored the miracles and the teachings of Christ. They rejected all the signs and wonders that God had provided. And so the false witnesses came to tell them what they wanted to hear. And the result of all of this is that Jesus is condemned to death by the Sanhedrin council, and then he was beaten. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 through 68. "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothing, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy.' 'What do you think?' They answered and said, 'He is deserving a death.' Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palm of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?'" While all of this is going on, Peter has already denied Christ twice. See, it's easy to be bold when you think you're in control of the situation. But the events of the night have now taken a terrifying turn. And so Peter denies Jesus for the third time, just as the sun begins to rise and the rooster crows. Matthew 26, verse 74 and 75. "Then he," Peter, "began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." Church, we gather this evening in remembrance of Jesus' passionate love for each and every one of us. We remember that he freely laid down his life for us so that one day we might stand holy and righteous in his presence. Amen? Amen. But if you continue to read the scripture, you see, before this night was completely over, things would get considerably worse. But church, have no fear. The best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we remember this final night, We remember Jesus gathered with his beloved disciples for one last meal, one last time of fellowship. We remember that he instituted the Lord's Supper that we observe in remembrance of him until Jesus once again returns in victory. Father, we remember the garden and his bitter cries of seeking another way. But we also remember in the garden that he submitted to your will. And we give you praise and glory that Jesus submitted and was willing to go to the cross in our place. Father, tonight as we remember all that your Son has done for our sake, we glorify you. And this evening we lift that up in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Matthew 26:30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So tonight we close by singing a hymn. So please stand as we sing.